If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be picking up at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're continuing our series on Strengthen Us. And today we're going to talk about church utopia. Now, utopia is a word that might make you feel happy or make you feel weird, depending on how it's been used in your life. But the basic sense is this amazing community where everything is awesome and everybody feels close. And it makes me think about 4 years of my life that were the most memorable years of my life. And that was when I was going to Central Bible College. I did not go there just to find a wife. I didn't. I mean it. Central Bible College. And on that community, it was a small campus of about 1,000 students, and we all lived with each other. We lived in the dorms, and the classes were there, and so you were just with other believers on a regular basis. Now, there were some people that were crazy and some people that were not all that right, but it was an awesome experience to just be with your friends all the time, hanging out with your friends all the time. You had the same mentality, same purpose, and just it was a wonderful 4 year experience, except for the one night when I was asleep. It was about 2 a.m. and it was my senior year. I was an RA, a resident assistant, and I was supposed to keep order on the floor, and there were hours that you were supposed to be sleeping, and 2 a.m. there were a lot of people that were not sleeping, and they were taking advantage of the fact that I'm a very deep sleeper. And so I heard the commotion, and I got up, pitch dark, got up out of my bed, and thought I was marching towards the door, which was about 8 feet away from me, but instead I was marching towards the concrete wall that was on the side of my bed that was about 2 feet from me. And I went trudging right into that wall and smacked my head, and I have a scar on my forehead to show for the split that was in my forehead. And so I went out, I changed directions, and went out into the hallway, only to see the other students scatter like roaches into their rooms as if nothing had happened. And except for one student at the other end of the hallway that had the startled look on his face, and I thought maybe it was just because he was afraid, but it wasn't that reason. When I walked back into my room, I saw the blood that was dripping down my face like I had just been in a war zone. So communities sometimes are amazing, and sometimes you get injured in a community. It just happens no matter how great it is. That was an amazing 4 years, but sometimes people had conflicts and there were issues. But it was such a great time, those 4 years of my life. And I don't know if you've ever experienced communities or seasons in relationships where everything was great, whether it was a courtship relationship or a small group that you were a part of, or a working environment that you were a part of at some point where everything just kind of clicked. You got along, you felt connected with each other, it was never boring, everything was just working. And that's a great feeling when you're in that kind of environment. And God actually wants us to be in that kind of environment. He wants us to be with other people on a regular basis where we enjoy each other, we help each other, we support each other, we strengthen each other, and we just have delight with being with one another. And that's what God wants us to be in. But how do we get into that kind of community? So look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Which says, therefore, it says, when he, being Jesus, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Doesn't that sound like a great environment? What Jesus is describing or inspiring Paul to write in Ephesians, God wants us to be in that kind of environment. Now, he goes into that with those first three verses in verse 8 through 10, where it talks about what Jesus did. And that quotation that he ascended and gave gifts is from Psalm 68:18. And just a little teaching sidebar here. In that passage, it says that he took gifts from men rather than he gave gifts from men. And really, it's not problematic because in this passage, he's going down to conquer and be victorious and receive the spoils. And then in Ephesians, Paul's capturing that and he's catching the other end of that, in that he's giving those gifts now to you. And so Jesus is receiving and giving gifts. And we've talked about this last week, how this is how the strengthening circle works. He strengthens us, and because he strengthens us, we have the ability to do. And then we start doing and interacting. And as we do that, he responds to that by strengthening us more. And since he strengthened us more, we have more ability to do. And so we do more, and then the cycle just keeps continuing. Same with the giving of gifts. Jesus receives from us and from his creation as he does, and then he gives back, and it comes back and forth, and he continues to do his work. Also, it's describing that he is above all, and we saw that language, I think it was last week or the week before, that God is above all and in all and through all. I think that was last week. And Jesus carries that similar language where he is in all things. And so Jesus, being God, is supreme. He has authority. He went down and he conquered. Don't get caught up into the descending part, because some people get captured into the idea that he went into hell and those sort of things. Not that that didn't happen, but this says into the lower regions of the earth. It doesn't give us specifics. But the main point is here, he conquered. He's victorious, and he is above all things. And because of who Jesus is, we can have this community. Because of what he's investing into us, we can enjoy this kind of amazing community. And he says, the beginning in verse 8, he says, therefore. Now, what is the therefore? And you've heard me say this. If there's the word therefore, I want to find out what the therefore is there for, right? And so it's attached to something. And so just before verse 8, Paul said that he had given gifts to us according to the measure that is given to each person. And then he says, therefore, and he goes into this discourse about the body of Christ and how we're supposed to function. So the measure of our faith is impacted by the community that we're within. So the stronger the community I'm a part of, the stronger I will become as an individual. And again, the circle continues. The stronger I am as an individual, the stronger the community I'm a part of will become. And so the growth, spiritual growth, like we said a few weeks ago, it is attached to the body of Christ. You can't really reach your fullest potential. You can't really become as strong as Jesus intends if you're not connected and engaged in the body of Christ. It's just the way he's chosen to make it happen. And so in here, he's going to continue this line of thinking that I am strengthened within the body of Christ. In verse 16, our key verse today is so that it builds itself up in love. All the things that Paul's going to tell us to do here is so that we will build each other up, so that we will strengthen each other as God's body. Now, where we've been so far is I get strengthened if I know all the things that God has given me and I get into the right posture before the Lord, if I understand how salvation can impact my life, if I understand the need to be a part of the body of Christ, and you see these themes that he keeps repeating throughout this passage. So if I'm repeating myself, you can blame Paul. He's repeating himself as well. I don't know if you could reach him or not, but you can try. So we got to be a part of the body of Christ. Then fulfilling the personal calling that God has given us. Then actually utilizing all the tools that God has given us. And we're doing all that stuff so we're strong, But the reason why we need to be strong is so that we can, one, last week have good character, and two, today, so that we can build people up. Verse 11 and 12 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. Why? Why did he give these gifts? To equip the saints. And I want you to know that unlike Catholic theology, the saints is every person who calls on the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be some superhero or something amazing or your name be in some kind of book somewhere. If you call on the name of Jesus, you are this. You are the saints. And the gifts were given so that we can be equipped for what? For the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the leadership is given to equip and train the body to be effective. And then verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. There is this growing up together, working together, that each of us are also contributing to the growth and the strengthening of the body. And so again, there's this circle here. The leadership trains us how to do ministry effectively. Then we do ministry effectively, and we minister to other people, and we even minister back to the those who are leading us, and they get strengthened, and then we get strengthened because they're strong, and then we get stronger, and we strengthen them because they're strong, and it's just constant circle of love and strength and building up and all of those things. And don't you want to be a part of that? Wouldn't you like to be a part of that kind of community? So how do we get there? We can become an effective community, or we can find this church utopia if we get ourselves together. Do you ever feel like you're not together? Have you ever go to leave, and Arlen, if you're watching, Arlen will tease me when we were still in the building on a regular basis, because he'd come and clean up the church, or he'd be cleaning up the church after service on Sunday, and I'd leave and I'd say goodbye, Arlen, and I'd go back to my car. And then I come back in because I forgot something else, and same on Wednesday nights. And you just think, man, I just wish I can get myself together and be on top of things. And God wants us to get ourselves together and be on top of things. This is the lack of this is the reason why we are not a part of this amazing utopia-type church community. So what is it that I need to get together? And the strength of the individual, again, is in the strength of the church. The stronger your community is, the stronger you will be. But the stronger you are, the stronger the church will be that you're a part of. We can get to this utopia if we get ourselves together. First, get in place. Everyone needs to find their role. All of us have a role to play in the body of Christ, and we need to get into that role and get into our assignment. And there are two general categories of roles. There is in verse 11, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers. There are the leadership gifts, so there are those that are involved in leading the body of Christ. Then there is 16, the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Every single piece is a part of holding this thing together. So there are the supporting roles. There are those who support the work of the ministry and help out and follow the lead and do assignments. And then there are those who are leading the work of the ministry. And whichever role I fall into, I need to fall into my place and get into that assignment. And the less we do this, the less we don't know what we're supposed to be doing and what role we're in, and the less we're functioning in a role, the weaker the body will be. And the weaker the body will be, the weaker I am as an individual. And so before you think, well, I'm strong, so I'm not worried about everybody else, understand that if the body's not strong, you are being affected as far as your spiritual strength is concerned. You need the body to be strong as well. And it only gets there if we get into our place and get into our roles and do the things that God is calling us to do. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what the leadership roles are given. So what is it that I need to get in place with? I need to accept training. I need to, when there's teaching available, I need to participate in that. So when there's a spiritual strategy course that's offered, and I've not gone through that, I need to go through that. And I know some of you are great biblical scholars, and you know Greek and Hebrew, and you teach at some seminary, and you don't need anybody else to teach you. I get that. But I think most of you have something you still need to learn. And so go through those courses, get involved in coaching. We have a team that's evaluating different things with our church, and we're thinking how to spruce up some of those programs and make sure, because our goal is we want every single person in the body of Christ to have a mentor, a life mentor. And so if that's offered to you, whether we call it coaching or whatever, Take part in those things. Let someone influence your life. Let someone teach you, because you might be amazed what may happen in your life if you humble yourself and accept training. And this is biblical. This is the way it's supposed to be. I need to be equipped by somebody. So everyone needs to get into their place. Secondly, everyone needs to get focused. What is it that we need to focus on? Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The whole flow of this is to get the body of Christ united with one another. And so I need to have a focus on that. I need to make sure, are we united? Are we getting along? Are our hearts united as one? Are we united with one another? It is the focus that I need to have in the body of Christ. And verse 13 continues, until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The focus is on maturity. We want each one of us to be spiritually strong. What does that look like? He says to the measure of Christ. And so I want to look like Jesus. I want to be talking like Jesus. I want to be living like Jesus. I want to be doing the things that Jesus does. That's what maturity is. And so the goal is for the whole body to be united with each other and to be mature. That's our focus. That's what we're after. We're not after great music. We're not after necessarily entertaining sermons. We're not after an amazing building. We're not after a large crowd. We're not after awesome programs. Not that there's anything wrong with those things, and not that we shouldn't do those things. But that's not what we're focused on. We're focusing on you and me being united with each other. We're focused on you and me being strong in Christ. That's what we're after. And if the programs make it happen, awesome. If great music makes it happen, if entertaining sermons makes it happen, if streaming makes it happen, if a great building makes it happen, then so be it. But these things are the supporting of what we're actually focused on, unity and maturity. And so I need to make sure, if I'm going to be a part of, help create this amazing community, this utopia of church, then I need to get in my place, I need to get focused, and I need to get moving. Now I want to add something to get in my place. You heard me use the illustration a few weeks ago about our kids and the saying that they need to stay in their lane, because sometimes my children want to become the parent and we have to tell them, get in your lane, you know, you behave and then let us parent the child. It's the same way within the body of Christ. We have to figure out what is my role, and I don't want to step into a role that's not mine. And so, because what happens is if I'm over here, I'm not tending to the thing that I've been assigned to take care of. So make sure that we are in our place, that we are focused and we're moving in two categories. One, take action. We need to do stuff. You know, it can't just simply be thinking right. It can't just simply be praying, though we need to do both of those things. But we also need to be people of action. There are things that we need to be doing. What are the things we need to be doing? Verse 13, for building up the body of Christ, we need to build people. That used to be a slogan for the Assemblies of God, we build people, years ago. And that's coming from a biblical idea that we need to build people. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to build people? That means that I'm involved in helping build up this person to become who God meant them to be, to strengthen them, to support them, to help them to become spiritually well, emotionally well, whatever I can do to support them, financially well. And you might say, well, that's not a part of the body of Christ. Well, read through the New Testament, see all the emphasis on what we're supposed to do with the poor. We're supposed to be helping in different ways, especially spiritually. And so I want to know, how am I helping this person become stronger? And these are the things I need to do. I need to take action to do something to help people become stronger, to build people. Secondly, verse 15, speak the truth. I need to make the truth known. I want you to understand that the truth is the Word of God, not some Facebook article that you share with other people. Okay? Not some news article that you found, or some fancy book, or some special prophet that's out there teaching some amazing things. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the Scripture. That's what God wants us to make known. Not some political idea. The Scripture is what God wants us to make known. Now, we can deal with those other things, but that's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to make the truth, the Word of God, no, and that means that I'm going to have to talk about Scripture and talk about spiritual concepts and talk about right and wrong according to the definition of Scripture. So I need to make this truth known to others. Otherwise, we can become a loving society that loves on people, but we're never strengthened. We never come to the realization of what the truth is. We might not ever really come to receive Christ if we're just a body of people that's just nice to each other. However, though, notice that it says that we do speak this truth, verse 15, in love. We have to be demonstrating love. I'm amazed at how many people are harsh in the way they communicate truth to other people, whether it's biblical truth or whether it's other kinds of information. I'm amazed how, in order to zealously uphold political standards or certain viewpoints, people will get nasty with other people. And that's not really what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be nasty with, well, I'm supposed to make the truth known. Yes, make the truth known in love. There should be this demonstration of, I care about you, and I want you to be in a good place and in a right place. I want to set you straight. You need to believe what I believe, but I love every bit of who you are, and I want you to see that, and I want you to see the truth. Biblical truth. These are the things that we need to be doing. Verse 16, and I can't tell you the perplexity of this phrase and what it means in the body of Christ, that we are joined and held together by every joint. And the joint is you. You know, whether you're a hand or an elbow or an eye or whatever part of the body you are, when we all are working together, it holds this community together. And this is what I should be working towards, is maintaining this community. So if you notice someone disappears for a while, go find them. Find out where they are and see how they're doing and check in on them. If you notice someone got mad at somebody else and there's a relational problem, then work to be a peacemaker and try to find a way to get those things together. If you have a problem with someone, what does the Scripture say? If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Deal with it, because I don't want to let that fester. I don't want problems to continue to linger. I don't want people to go missing and never be found again. We want to make sure that we stay together. This is the work that we are to do, is to maintain the community. And it's not just the pastor's job. Because sometimes when the pastor calls, people might think, well, that's his job, he has to call. But if you call, it says so much more, because you don't have to call in their minds. And it makes a great impact on other people. We need to, every joint, not just the lead, but every one of us needs to seek the maintaining of this community. And then, verse 16, when each part is working properly, we need to do our assignments well. Whatever that is that God has given you, the work that you do, whether you have some skill or some ability. And some of you have gotten text from me recently asking you what interests or hobbies or skills that you have. And some of you answered with, why? Why do you want to know? Because he's going to give me some other assignment to do. And you are partially correct. But I'm behaving like Jesus told me to, in that we all need to be involved. And I'm working towards, and I don't know how long this will take, but working towards getting us more informed with each other's lives. Because sometimes we have skills that nobody knows about, and you might think, well, what could God use with this skill? Who cares that I can sew? You know, what does that do for the kingdom of God? And you might not realize that there might be something that could do that is an amazing thing for the kingdom of God. And so we want to figure out what these skills are, and we want to put them to good use for the kingdom of God. Because I'm telling you, if every one of us and every one of you has some amazing ability within you because God has given it, or multiple abilities, and if every one of us starts doing these things for the kingdom of God, imagine what would happen in our community. What a great thing that would be, is every single joint is doing what it's supposed to be doing, working properly. And I can't make you do this. This is going to take all of us doing it. And churches can become great churches because they have great leaders. But sometimes what happens, and you can fill in the blank with whatever large church you want to fill into, because I don't want to indict any church, because there are many large churches that are doing great things for the kingdom of God. But sometimes churches become focused with, how do I get a large crowd to listen to the same speaker every week? And while it's good to have people hear the Word of God, and it's good to get more people, we want to do that. We want to get more people. But that's not what we're after. We're not after just getting a crowd. We're not after getting fancy lights and amazing sound and music. We're not after that. We might do those things in order to aid the work, but that's not what we're after. We might get the crowds, that would be awesome, but that's not what we're after. We're after building people up to become everything that God wants them to be, to feel the strength of the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. We want people to know the truth, and we want people to be loved on. We want people to know that this is your community, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you stay happy, not just in this community, but happy in this community, and we're going to make sure that everybody has a part to play in their doing it. I need to take action. Secondly, I need to uphold the necessary ingredients. This is what I need to get moving on. Uphold the necessary ingredients for growth. Well, what are they? Verse 13 again, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The body of Christ will not be strong if it's not united with one another. What does it say? What does Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. We have to be careful when we start tearing each other down. We have to be careful when we oppose. Doesn't mean we can't confront. Doesn't mean we can't have discussions and work out issues. It doesn't mean that sometimes we just have to choose to disagree and that's okay. Not just that. It means that we need to be zealous for, but you and me, we're part of the same body. We're one. You and me belong to the same Master, the same Lord. You and me are flowing with the same Holy Spirit. We can't be against each other. And so when you criticize and look down on and ridicule and oppose other people in the body of Christ, and this could be within Bethel, this could be outside of Bethel, when you choose to oppose, remember that you might be dividing up the body and weakening its ability to do what it does. And we see this throughout the church, throughout the world. We divide over so many ridiculous things. Some things are necessary. Some things are because people are rejecting true, solid, biblical truth. But other things are just minor things that we get so hung up on and so irritated with, and we become so evangelistic about secondary issues, and we oppose, and the body cannot do what God wants it to do because it's not united. How's that saying go? United we stand, divided we fall. We need to be united. Secondly, the ingredient we need to uphold, verse 13, until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 15, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. We want intimacy with Jesus. You see, that's really what's going to change us, is Jesus. You know, we could be united around some cause, but if we're not intimate with Jesus, then it doesn't really do anything. I need to be found in Christ. I need to make sure that somebody is following Jesus and walking with Him and knows Him. Because what happens is that changes you. If you know Jesus, that changes you. If you let it, it changes you. It makes you a different person. You don't look the same anymore. You don't act the same. Who is this person? Because Jesus has come into their lives. That's what creates what happens in this body, is if we're intimate with Jesus. Because what does John say? I cannot hate my brother and yet say I love God, because the two go hand in hand. If I am in love with Jesus, it just does the stuff within me. And so if we want to be able to have this community, we have to try to work towards people being intimate with Jesus. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. We also need intelligence. Now that might sound odd in a spiritual endeavor, but this passage is saying you need to be grounded enough in your mind that when ideas come around, they don't keep jolting you from one direction to the other. And I'm going to give a word to some of you, and this might only be, you know how the squeaky wheel gets the what? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So sometimes there's just a few squeaky wheels, but they get the grease because we don't like that squeak to keep going. And I want you to know that if you're on Facebook, because some people get in the habit of, when they're on Facebook, they are posting articles every single day, and then they're Facebook messaging everybody all the time with all these different things and ideas and stuff. And I want you to know that most people are not receiving that well. No matter what the information is, most people are either they're just ignoring it, or they're unfriending you. You know, they're closing the door somehow, or they think you're crazy, and that may be true. I don't know, but I want you to know that you lose your voice with other people when you are constantly kind of just going with every excitement, every new idea, every great exposure, every great experience that's happening. You're chasing it down, you're running after it, and you look contradictory. You believe one thing one day, you believe another thing another day, and there's never so much as a, well, I think I changed my mind, or well, I think I got it wrong before. It's just like the other thing never happened, and you're going to and fro and bouncing all over the place, and the attitude and the atmosphere and the mood and the motivations the world just keeps carrying you around like you're a little seed, like those little helicopter seeds that float from the trees and spin around. It's just a gust of wind comes by and you just go a completely different direction. And God does not want us to be that kind of follower of Christ. He wants us to be grounded. He wants us to be firm. He wants us to be smart. He wants us to not be tricked by all the things that happen out there. He wants us to be intelligent. Christianity is not a dumb religion. It's one of the most intelligent endeavors there are. You have to be smart if you're going to stay on this pathway to be a believer. If you keep yourself in the Word and you keep pursuing Jesus Christ, you become wise to other people. So don't let your emotions and your fears keep carrying you. Get grounded. Because what happens is the body is not effective because we're chasing after things that are really not all that significant. And I know that many of you at times have begged me to teach on the end times, and I've given the regular answer. I don't like teaching on the end times. And it's not because I don't understand it. It's because I think it distracts us. You know, is this new chip going to be the mark of the beast? And is this person the Antichrist? And is this person going to take over? And when's tribulation going to start? And we get chasing after news stories. And did you know that Google and YouTube both are an endless pit? You dive in there, you will never find the end of articles and information and videos and all kinds of things that are out there, and you will just get stuck seeking after endless information, and you won't be doing the work of the kingdom, and you won't be working on preparing yourself for the work of the kingdom because you're focused on secondary issues. Is Jesus coming back? Yes, he is. Do I know when he's coming back? Not at all. Is he coming back tomorrow? Maybe. Is he coming back in 30 years? Maybe that too. I don't know. But I know that I need to be doing his work until he comes. That's what I need to be doing. And I need to be smart about what I'm doing. I also, verse 15, I need to be speaking the truth. There needs to be an accountability to the word. Everybody, every Christian author, we need to hold them accountable to the word. Every claimed prophet, every news article needs to be held to the accountability of the word. Because it's not politics, it's not information, it's not one side or the other when it comes to COVID-19, it's not any of that stuff. It's the Bible that is supposed to be our source of truth. And if anything contradicts it, that, we toss it aside. And if it's affirmed by the Bible, we passionately pursue it. And if it's in between, then we just be careful with it and we handle it with care and loosely. And so I need to uphold the Word of God and we need to be accountable to that. And I've done this on a number of times. In the spiritual strategy course I've done this in, I've done it in other discipleship-type courses. I've always warned people at some point, because I start most discipleship courses with emphasizing the authority of Scripture and how if the Bible says it, then I need to do it. And I always tell people that at some point, you're going to argue with me, and I'm going to be pointing out verses, and you're going to agree with the verses, and you're going to say I don't need to do that. Or you're going to say that's not true even though you see what the Bible says. And I can't tell you how many people do things that are clearly not biblical, believe things that are clearly not biblical in the guise of spirituality and that they're serving Jesus. And we need to make sure that we are going to the Scripture. So if the Scripture says it, doesn't matter if I don't like it. It doesn't matter if it's hard. It doesn't matter if it's not entertaining and exciting. It doesn't matter if it didn't give me some magical formula to find some amazing truth that's out there that nobody else knows. It doesn't matter if it's not filled with codes and riddles for mysteries that nobody else knows. It doesn't matter if it's simple, the simplicity of Christ or not. If it says it, that's what I need to be upheld to. And so I challenge you, if you're talking with someone and they say something that's off, just say, well, you know, what about what this verse says? And see what they say. And if their posture is to run from that, then you should be concerned. And again, start working towards the maintaining of the body. Accountability to the word. Verse 15, again, in love. We need to have a love for one another. Right? I've referenced Romans 13, this genuine brotherly love and affection we are to have for one another. We need to be caring for one another. And then verse 16, again, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is properly working, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We need teamwork. And so I know that I harass some of you guys. I know that there's times that you think that, well, he can do it. Why doesn't he do it? And I try to get you to do it. And that's because I'm a firm believer in the team of the body of Christ, that we are better if all of us are doing something. And so I try to give you an assignment. And you could say no if you want to, and then I'll just harass you and harass you every day and pray for you every day to change your mind until you give in. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. No comment. I'm not looking at the comments. I hope there's no comments to that. I'm scared. I never know what I'm going to see until afterwards. But we need to be a team. We need to all be doing something in the body of Christ. And if the team's not doing it, then it's not going to be strong. If it's all on me, I want you to know something. I'm weak. Do you know that? I have weaknesses. I have flaws. Some of you don't know that because I'm on a pedestal for some of you, and that's just because you don't know enough about me. And some of you, you know more about me, and you see me with a critical eye, and you know that I have flaws and things that I've not pulled together and gotten together. And some of that's on purpose, and some of that's not, because we all have our blindness and those sort of things. But the goal, or the reaction to that, is not to just criticize and ridicule, but to ask, how can I be a part of making that stronger? If you feel like there's a program that's not there and we need to have it, then ask, how can I be a part of making that happen? If you feel like there's a ministry that needs to be happening, if you feel like something needs to happen to the facilities to make it improve or whatever, then ask yourself, what should I be doing to make that happen? And I bet for some of us, if we start doing that, some of us will stop complaining and asking so many questions because we don't want to do anything. And I'm telling you, the less number of people there are active in the body of Christ, the weaker the church is, and the weaker the church is, the weaker I am, and the weaker you are. We are only as strong according to the measure that is given to us. Therefore, do the work of the body of Christ. Lastly, what is it I need to get myself together? I need to get healthy. And really, this could be looked at in two ways, but first let's go over what it is that means health to Jesus for the building up of the body, verse 12, for us to be strong. And again, Paul keeps repeating these themes. I told you, Ephesians is all about us being strong. And so the body functioning the way that it should be functioning is so that I can be strong as a person. That's the goal. The end goal of this is for each individual to be strong. Verse 13, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, I need to be spiritually mature. So there's strong in that I'm able to weather storms and walk through issues. And I'm telling you, many of us have gone through some difficult, dark experiences and hard experiences. And the stronger you are, the more capable you are of walking through those things. So we need to be strong and spiritually mature. We need to be like Christ. Verse 14, again, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and all those things deceived, we need to have wise and healthy thinking. Lastly, until we all attain to the knowledge of the Son of God, we are to grow up in every way into Him. I need to be intimate with Christ. This is where we are going. Doesn't that sound awesome? To have the strength as an individual to withstand anything this world throws at you, anything the enemy throws at you, any pit of an experience that you find yourself in, you have the ability to walk through it and not quit. We want that strength. then to have the spiritual maturity to be like Christ, to be able to give the answers that Jesus would give. I love studying Jesus and the Gospels and how he just always knew the right thing to say to change a person's life, to move things in the right direction. And so to be spiritually mature, to be wise and healthy in your thinking, to your thoughts being the way that they should be. Does your mind ever mess with you? Do you ever find yourself tearing your own self down in your thinking or confused? Wouldn't you love to be healthy in that head of yours or to have this close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? That's an amazing thing. And he paints this picture for us of this community for two reasons. One, he wants to tempt us to do the work. Because if we don't know that there's something amazing on the other end of all that work, all that agony, all that frustration, all that dealing with conflicts and issues and struggling through things, if we didn't know that there was something amazing on the other end of that, we might not have the stamina. But I'm telling you, there is something amazing on the other end of that if we will just do the work. And so we need it to motivate us. We need this information to know what is it we're actually after. Like I said, we're not after numbers. We're not after state-of-the-art technology. We're not after an amazing show. I chuckle on the inside whenever some people that are not really familiar with church say, that was a great show, which is fine. But we're not after a show. We're not competing with television. We're not competing with the cat videos on YouTube. We're not trying to write books or whatever things the world considers to be amazing. We're not after having a lot of money and resources. Those are just instruments and tools to get somewhere. We're not after a political agenda. We're not after building your social media platform community. We're not after getting you the opportunity to do the things you like to do. That's not what we're after. We'll do some of those things just for supporting reasons. But we're after every one of us, not just a few, not just me, not just a handful, not just one church body, every single person that I'm in contact with, we're after that person being strong and able to walk through this world. We're after that person being just like Jesus. We're after that person being wise and healthy in their thinking. We're after that person being intimate with Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. And if I don't know that, I'm going to get distracted and pursue all kinds of worthless things. And I hate the idea of being the person that stands before Jesus at the judgment that's described in Scripture. And all my life's work is laid before him. And when the fire comes, there's nothing left but ashes. Because the things I did were not of eternal value. This is the eternal value. You got some particular person in some political office, that's not going to get you anywhere in heaven. You accomplish some political cause, that's not going to get you anywhere in heaven. You change people's minds about philosophy and different opinions that are outside the Word of God, that's not going to get you anywhere at the judgment. What's going to get you somewhere at the judgment is when you can say, you know all these people that are standing in line that's going to get the green light to come in? I was a part of that. I was involved in that. That's what's going to get us in. And so we're focused on so many other things. That's why you start to get anxious sometimes. That's why you start to get confused. That's why sometimes there's relational conflicts. It's not persecution. It's you're not focused on the right thing. We need to get on board with doing the things that Jesus wants us to do, and then we're going to see amazing things happen. So I hope that you will join me in working towards getting in my place, getting focused, getting moving, and getting into this community of health that God wants to give. Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? If you want to lead us, then draw me close to you. You're on a journey, and you have things that are personal and unique to you. There are people that have emotional issues, relational issues, financial issues. There are people who have substance abuse issues, physical issues, things wrong with their body. They're facing cancer. They're facing other physical health issues. Maybe you're facing dementia, Alzheimer's. You're wrestling on the inside, you feel insignificant. You're struggling with that sense of emotional security. All the while, there is strength that's waiting for you. You find yourself feeling all alone, like there's nobody that gets you, that understands you. Well, instead of complaining about the problem, why don't you become part of the solution? And I want you to understand something. This church body, whether it's Bethel or any other church body, will never in this life fully look like the picture we're describing. We'll never be 100% that until heaven. That's what heaven is. Heaven is 100% of this. We're amazing and we're resting in the glory and the peace of God, and we're getting along, and there's no conflict, there's no pain, no sorrow. Everything's just wonderful for all eternity. That's when we get to 100%. But just because we can't get to 100%, are you saying you don't want to move from 20 to 50%? Are you saying you don't want to move from 50 to 70 or 70 to 85? Because the more we work and do the things, do the ministry that God is equipping us to do, the more we will become closer to this. And the closer I get to this, this might be the solution to so many things you find yourself wrestling with. Steve led us in a song that I asked him to do a few weeks ago. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, and did an amazing job with that. And that's the journey of each heart, is we recognize that whatever it is I'm after, I'm not there yet. But you're never going to get there if you don't pursue. You're never going to get there if you don't seek. So what is it that's out of place with you, that's the reason why you're weak on the inside? Are you fulfilling a role? Are you fulfilling a role in the body of Christ? Doesn't matter if you consider it significant or not. Doesn't matter if other people see it as significant. All that matters is, do you have an assignment and are you doing it? Are you pursuing mentorship? Are you pursuing other people to strengthen you? I mentioned my 4 years in Central Bible College, and some of you have mentioned to me that you find me wiser than my age. Maybe I look younger than I am, I don't know. Or maybe it's that when I got to Bible college, I was looking for every chance I could to find someone to mentor me. Somebody sow into my life. Somebody teach me how to do this. Somebody show me how to be more than what I am. And I'm telling you that experience of finding people to mentor me and feed into my life paid so many dividends in who I am today, because I sought after it. So don't just wait around for someone else to do it. Pursue a mentorship relationship. Pursue somebody strong in the word and strong in spirit to feed into your life. Are you actually focused on the goals? Are you actually pursuing His kingdom? Because what does it say? Seek His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things will be added to me. Are you actually seeking His kingdom, or is there some other agenda that you are after? Do you lack one of the tools for action? Is there love that's absent? Is there truth that's absent? What is it that's missing? And so as we take a moment to seek Him, let's seek Him about the things that are missing within us. Again, it's not, it shouldn't be what's missing at Bethel, what's missing at some other church. What's missing in me? How can I become what I need to be? To be strong for the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ can be stronger, because as each joint does what it's supposed to do, that's what creates the strength. So as they lead us, let's let the Lord examine us and show us what needs to happen in us, so that as individuals we become a collective, whole, strong body. Let's seek Him. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us. Help us to have our eyes fixed on You. Help us to lose sight of the things in this life that 50 years from now, 1,000 years from now, when we're all in Your kingdom, they won't matter. Help us to see with Your eyes, to see the things that truly matter to You, to lose sight of the things that are not part of the kingdom. And make us stronger, Lord. Other people, Lord, are depending on it. Are depending on me being strong, You being strong, us collectively being strong. There's so much that's riding on His church, His body being what it should be. And so, Lord, help us to be that. Give us ideas. Give us insight. Give us the character of Christ so firmly placed upon our hearts. And help us to be not like those children that are tossed to and fro every which way, but are grounded in the Word of God and stable like a rock that is not shaken, firm so that others can stand upon us, upon what you've built in us, and they can continue to be built. Lord, make your kingdom grow. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. I've had some conversations. We'll leave them both nameless, but one individual that had a disagreement or wasn't sure about my position on something, and they came to me one-on-one and had a conversation, and we talked through viewpoints and stuff, and what a great encounter that was. It's refreshing when people decide they're going to get together and in love and in maturity they're going to talk through viewpoints and stuff, and the body becomes stronger because of those things. And that's encouraging, and I want to encourage you to do that. Don't attack people. Don't get bitter or irritable with people. Just speak the truth in love. I also had a conversation with an individual that was saying that they were considering leaving Bethel because of all the things that they're seeing being posted by various people in our church on Facebook, taking a very strong, and when I say political views, I mean they're right, everybody else is wrong, and anybody who doesn't believe this is, you know, the Antichrist or whatever the language is there. And just know that your zealousness, and that was the couple of Jesus' disciples were zealous for politics. They wanted the Messianic kingdom to be there now, and they wanted the Roman government overthrown now. And you think our government has its problems. You don't understand the first century Roman government. And they wanted it done now. And Jesus said, your heart's not about the kingdom. When Jesus was standing before Pilate asked him why he's not speaking, because Pilate had the ability to set him free, Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. This stuff is not as significant as that stuff. And so I want to encourage you, please be careful on your choice of wording. I saw a friend of mine, also will remain nameless, that posted a rant on Facebook about how if everybody wants Facebook to be just this easy place where everybody just says nice things and everybody just posts happy pictures about their family, well then fine. If they don't want to listen to ideas and those sort of things. And who invented Facebook anyway? Did Jesus invent Facebook? Who are we to decide what Facebook's supposed to be about? And why does that really matter all that much? If you have conflict with people, if you want to push things, push it to them to their face. Have a conversation with them. And if they don't want to hear what you have to hear, then let it go. That's okay. Because I would hate for the body of Christ to be torn because we got zealous about things that weren't really what Jesus was focusing on. And that's why on our YouTube channel, I've been posting videos of coronavirus response, been trying to urge us to stay what happens is we create a narrative in our minds. We have a viewpoint before we look at the information. And then when we find the information that agrees with us, then those are the things that we like. And we find the things that don't agree with us, and we reject those things. And we don't really have an open mind to ideas. And all I ask is for you to study the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. If the Scripture doesn't have a side, then don't choose a side. Just choose. There's one side. Do you know that? Didn't we sing that song a minute ago? There's one side. There's one way, right? One way is Jesus and his kingdom. So let's not get worked up over things that don't matter. And I want to urge you, when you choose to leave a church body, and this has nothing to do with the individual I had the conversation with, if you choose to leave a church body, you better have very good reasons to do it. It shouldn't be because you didn't like something about the service. It shouldn't be that you were looking for a program that's not there. It shouldn't be because there's some flaw in me. Because I want you to know that no matter what church you go to, the pastor has flaws. You know, even the biggest churches, the pastor has flaws. You just might not see them because you don't know him as much as you know a pastor of a smaller church. But instead of choosing to leave, be a part of the solution. Keep working towards the solution, and we have a work ahead of us. And I'm looking forward to the day when we're back together and we can get more working on other things, and God's going to build his church. The gates of Hades will not overpower it if it's the church that we're building. So let's build his kingdom. So thank you for being with us today. Again, if you have any questions of me or whatever, you have ways that you can communicate with me. Encourage you to give. And I can't repeat this enough. It's amazing how well you guys have made sure that the finances of the church are in order. Giving has not really changed. It's either the same or better as it was when we were in person. And so you are enabling us to continue on without suffering the various financial hardships. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the way you minister to each other. And we have a lot of good qualities about us, don't we? We have a lot of good qualities about us. We just have some things that we need to iron out and work on. That's the way life is. So Father, thank you so much for what you do. And I ask that you would help us to be better. Lord, that's our vision statement, together seeking something better. Help us to keep pursuing and to never quit on each other, to never give up, to tolerate when people are being crazy and off the wall, and to make sure that I'm not going to be that way. Help us to be like Christ. Help us to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Because we want your church to be built because it's your body. And we want the name of Jesus to be glorified. So help us to do that, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.